What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Bob Shop Talk. It's you guys, man. We back. A little layover, a little chill time. Getting into fall camp, man. Last time we checked in with y'all was day one. Getting ready to kind of recap a little bit what's going on after the first week. And just kind of look forward a little bit to the year. You know, we'll get more into like Notre Dame game as we get a little closer. We're going to kind of look at it more from a big picture perspective so far today. We got a 3.5 man show. Just depending on how it go. Everybody got a little bit of movement and shaking going on right now. So we'll see who can kick it. But we did want to get something out to the people. So I was going to kick it over to Meezy. Oh, he there. We got
Turnstile Meezy, Air Meezy, man. Rob over there cooking. I'm putting it on a plane, man.
No doubt.
What it do, y'all boys?
Chilling. Real Field General X is in the building.
Yo, we back. We got two things I'm running around and handling, man. But I'm here. I'm gonna give y'all time for a little bit.
I'm the only one chilling at home. And then we got man, T-Rob. Well, D-Rob at home, but he cooking. D-Rob, say what's up to the people, man. Oh, I unmute you. Hold on. I ain't want to hear all that. All them pots clicking and clacking in the background.
D-Rob up there. He's a fan for his cooking TV show, man.
D-Rob. What are we cooking tonight?
Hey man. So before I get into it, what's on the menu? I'm making some Korean barbecue beef bulgogi with some rice and some broccoli. You know what I'm saying? Set it up a little different tonight.
Yeah.
It's your boy, the real Chef Rob, Chef Maul. I'm sorry, my brother. I'm taking your name. But man, so happy to be here. You know, get some good ball talk.
No doubt. All right, man. Since I know X might be on a limited clock, and we're just going to kind of be kind of swift all together. Let's kind of get into a little fall camp talk. I guess, you know what? Let's not even bury the lead. I saw y'all song Sam Cainsville, QB depth chart, shake up. What's that looking like? What's the movement?
It's time to move on from Emory Williams. It's time to move on.
Okay.
Luke has been having a good camp so far. Judd has been having a good camp so far. And not to say Emory hasn't been doing good at times, but he not it. You know what I'm saying? I think if we're going to prepare for the future after this season, it's time to prepare for somebody who's actually going to play.
I feel you.
So, yeah. Quarterback depth. And then, you know, you're bringing in Darion next year. I just don't think you want to waste your time in training Emory still, and he still don't get playing time next year. So that just don't make sense. So, yeah.
So today, you would think next year we'll be back in the portal again.
I wouldn't say – it depends. It depends on what type of quarterback that's available. I think – and then it also depends on what Dawson does. If Dawson stays, we might go back into the portal. But if he doesn't, and you can actually get a coach who wants to develop the quarterbacks, I think we'll be okay.
Dawson to bring him something ready made here.
Dawson, like, man, listen, if this shit ain't, you got to bring me the Rolls Royce now, man. I don't want the Benz no more, man.
Hey. I'm cool with it as long as we can keep bringing them in. You know, I ain't got no ego about it. Like,
that's a damn sure. Hey, listen, if you keep bringing in a motherfucker who keep elevating us as a football team, I'm like, hey, keep doing it.
Yeah, and I think
what we say all the time, Larry, man, fuck that quarterback recruiting shit, man. Let's go get Yeah, let's go get the other players, man, because quarterback, you never know if they're going to play anyway.
Yeah, he ain't going to play any fucking way. I might as well just let him go somewhere else, get pissed off with them people, and then say, all right, here go your little bag. Come on, man, and let's get this shit cooking, man. Like, I saw somebody say they were happy that UF can, you know, recruit their QB1 every cycle. I'm like, yeah, all right. You believe that shit if you want to. These kids get disgruntled, especially at a QB spot. It's only one guy can play the position. So it's going to be, no matter who you think you're bringing in, number one, it's the biggest bust position. So you're either going to miss, or you may have too much talent at the position and somebody going to want the opportunity. And if they're too close in classes, they're going to go. They're going to go to an opportunity that look better to them. So I don't get overwhelmed with trying to secure like these highly ranked QBs. And I think that's going to come in time anyways. I think we just got a little more proving to do. And I think you'll be able to shift the narrative a little bit more. You're still fighting old narratives. You still got people trying to say Mario a handcuffed quarterback. He the quarterback killer. You know, all such foolishness. So I think you'll start to see those QBs, those top tier QBs, give us more of a serious look in the near future, especially if this season goes as well as I anticipate it will.
Yeah, I see. I can see. I'm gonna tell you, if Beck goes first round or even second round, I think, because right now he's not projected anywhere because of the season that he had and his injury. So like, he's not on no top projection boards anymore. But I feel like if he has a season where he gets projected at the first or second round pick or does well, I think you'll probably start seeing some movement amongst like top quarterbacks coming out of high school saying that, you know what, I can go to Miami and I can get drafted because look what happened. They can say what they want about Cam. Cam was what? Fifth round pick at best. Came to Miami, the number one pick. Carson Beck was a first round pick. Had the season he had at Georgia, then had an injury. He fell off draft boards. He wasn't there. There was no discussion. He's not in discussion right now. The only one they're talking about is Drew Allar, Arch Manning, if he decided to come out, Lenore Sellers. It's a few. Now, he's at Miami. Yeah, Nussmeier. Now he's at Miami. He comes here. He gets back into that conversation. Now it's going to be like, okay, I know that if I go to Miami, I got a good chance of being drafted. Now the narrative kind of changes. Because now you say, shoot, Mario, that's three first-round quarterbacks, Herbert, Ward, and possibly Beck. So a lot can change.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think it will change. I'm optimistic that it will. And then if we get to that position, then, you know, say after, you know, we already got Coleman coming in. We don't have our 27 quarterback yet. I think you could see that 27 guy be one of these more like heralded top tier guys. And don't get me wrong, of course, it's never going to hurt because you're going to hit on some of them, but you're also going to miss on some of them. So, yeah, bring in as many as you can and, you know, let the talent sort itself out. So, but I do think, yeah, another good year at the quarterback position will kind of put us in a spot to you know, get those younger guys coming in early. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I think we all root for Emory. He seemed like a Miami guy, you know, as far as, like, dedication to the team. You know, he was all rah-rah as a recruit when it was him and Jaden Rashada. He wasn't tripping on that. You know, he stuck it out through that whole, you know, situation. So he definitely get love in that regard. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business too, so. You either got it or you don't. But back to the rest of the camp. So we've had, since the last time recorded, we just had the first day. And then since, we've all progressed all the way up to pads at this point, which is when you start to really get to see a little bit of real football. X, you got to, you know, we hear a little bit. I would say, is there a name that may not be mentioned as much as you think it should, that it's kind of a little bit maybe under the radar right now?
Okay, so offensively, Oh man. Oh, okay. So NICAR is stepping it up a lot.
Oh boy.
Upshaw is the freshman. He's having a nice camp.
Okay.
at running back, Pringle, man. Pringle had a damn good day yesterday at the scrimmage. He got the breakaway speed. When he breaks, he's gone. And it's not just because he's fast, because we've had fast guys at running back. I think it's a complete running back where you want him in the backfield, and they're going to give him the ball. Defensively, Dylan Day, man, he's just I tweeted out yesterday, Lance Guidry, you had this guy in your secondary. I'm going to say it every day because it's like, nigga, he was there and you ain't want to play him. I mean, we had 7-0, and it's for some reason you thought he wasn't ready. But, okay, Dylan Day, he's stepping it up big time. Jacoby Thomas, the transfer from Tennessee, he had a good day at camp. At scrimmage yesterday. He's another one that's kind of surprising because I wasn't really high on him. I thought he was just going to be one of those come put a hat, you know, hit you hard and, you know, right, probably get some penalties type guy. But he's stepping it up big time. I don't know if this name ain't been said, but Armando Blunt continues to show he wants to be the starter. And that's going to be hard because, you know, you got the other two boys there, but he's right there pushing hard. So.
Yeah, he what, 18?
Yeah, that's people 18. Be forgetting he only 18, bro, because it's his second year there.
Yeah, he's turning 18. So it's a lot of players that's, and it's good. Like me and you was talking earlier, like, I don't think anybody's comfortable with the position they have or even the starting job that they think they might have.
Right.
Outside of Carson Beck, I was going to say outside of the offensive line, but now it looks like Pancake telling McCoy, like, hey, you ain't the starter just yet. You know what I'm saying? So, then wide receiver, you know, JoJo's out for a little bit, but all the other receivers stepping up. Mark Fletcher, he's out for a little bit, but the running back stepping up. That damn Shamar, is that how you pronounce it, Shamar? Brown.
Yeah, it's Shamar Brown from North Dakota State.
Yeah. So he just looked like one of those NFL type running backs. You know, he's about 220, and it's gonna be hard to tackle him in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? Him and Mark Fletcher coming at you in the fourth quarter, you just probably said, "Coach, all right, they got us."
How much of the scrimmage did you get the opportunity to catch?
Well, they didn't let us catch nothing. You know, I just got this is my guy who was there.
Oh, okay.
He sent me a list of everything that went down. It's funny because you see I tweeted a thing like this, me trying to get into the scrimmage.
Yeah. Everybody I saw you like the man. ninja gift.
Yeah. Everybody came hit me like, man. Tell me how that thing went. I say, listen, man, y'all, if those people would have saw me, man, they probably would have called the police on me, man.
Yeah, you two recognize it. Like, you ain't low enough.
Even like when practice be over, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when they send us out of practice, I sneak back in. They come get me. Hey, you know you're not supposed to be here. I like,
man, I'm you like, ain't you like 6'3", too?
Yeah, I'm 6'2.5". Man.
Yeah, you ain't high.
They see me, man.
Well, you know, locks all the way down his back. Yeah,
right.
Like, trying to stay. They go X over there, y'all. Look, he trying to hide and shit.
Yeah, that's how they be doing me, man. Even when I be trying to hide outside, they be still having somebody like, hey, what you doing in this area? Hey, man, I'm looking for a car. I lost my car.
I see you say that. I was like, I thought they wouldn't let them see none of the scrimmage because I know we're getting so close to actual, you know, we starting installments at this point. So,
well, to be honest, I think yesterday, from what I was told, it wasn't no installments. It was just basic beginning of camp football.
Got you. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It wasn't like, no, okay, we finna put in this special package. It wasn't none of that. Like, they was trying a lot of new stuff with the defense.
Are they trying to make a death chart before they start installments?
No. They try to see who could play.
Okay.
They try to see who could play. The depth chart don't never come out till the day of the game. I keep telling people, like...
Dang, so the players don't know neither?
Man, listen, the depth chart don't come out to the day of the game.
Oh, damn.
If you're not paying attention to Kane's football, you don't never get the depth chart to the day of the game.
That's true. I mean, we have an idea in our mind. We have an idea in our mind, but yeah, like, that's true.
That makes sense, though, Larian. That makes sense.
Be ready.
Be ready. If you're ready, don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. You prepare like you start.
Yeah.
If you prepare like you start, and if your name get called, your number get called, you'll be ready for that, you know, that opportunity.
And then, you know, the team don't know. They don't know. They just figure, oh, well, these are players who play. That's it.
Yeah, and I mean.
So they don't know what package is coming out, but. You know, that's just the way Mario does it. Mario don't give, he don't give the media nothing. He don't give the ACC nothing. Like, you see, it normally, it don't even be no list of injuries. He don't even give that to them.
I know he pissed off at that, though, because, like, now the NCAA doing that shit for gambling reasons. Now you got the list.
Yeah.
Mario pissed off.
You're about to say that.
That's why they doing it. They doing it for gambling reasons.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Like, you know why I got to tell you worse? We're gambling. Like, that don't matter. Like, it really don't matter outside of gambling. Whoever plays.
Yeah.
But if you got props.
You don't remember when Randy Shannon used to do the upper extremity, lower extremity?
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to specify, like, the type of injury that somebody had. Now they have that rule where it's like, you have to give, because of the gambling stuff, you have to, like, give special, like, if they're not playing and all that, you have to report all that type of stuff ahead of time. Not 20 minutes before game time.
That's how it is for the NFL, man. You got fantasy and you got prop bets. You know, you mess up a lot of the money. You know, if people don't get this type of information, or people gonna feel like they're getting cheated, so they don't want to place bets because they don't know what's this.
True. That's a real thing.
Yeah, I know. If I'm scared, I ain't putting nothing on no.
Because people put thousands and thousands of dollars on this shit too now. Yeah,
I hate losing 20 on that hoe.
Yeah, we hate that, but it's people losing like $500, $1,000. Yeah,
I know them personally.
Yeah, yeah.
I see them sweating at the bar. God damn, some bitch can't get 12 on y'all.
Yeah.
And then the motherfucker get hurt, and he's sick.
Hey, funny story, right? So me and my brother was out one day, and we seen one of the Dolphin players, right? And a dude walked up to him. He was like, man, why you couldn't get fucking 5 tackles, man? I had you on my thing. He was like, man, why you betting on me to get 5 tackles? He said, man, I would've won $1,500. He like, well, yeah, I'm not playing for you. I'm playing for me, but...
Exactly.
You start laughing. I'm like, that's crazy for you to walk up to a player and talk about why you couldn't get 5 tackles.
That is crazy. Why you couldn't get 5 tackles?
Man, like,
bitch, why you couldn't get 5 tackles?
Exactly. Like, man, you don't get out my damn face talking about 5 tackles.
And trust me, I wanted 20. That's my money out there on the line if I don't get these stats padded up, man. Anyways, a name that I heard a little buzz around that. You know, I think we have, I wouldn't say concern, but question marks around that seem to be kind of stepping it up a little bit so far early on is Keelan Marion, you know, the BYU guy we brought in. I think the idea from most of the fan base was that essentially he was kind of brought in here as a kick returner, maybe a gadget type guy. But like, I think it was Mario that said it, but basically, he's shown that he could be a guy that could create some explosion downfield. So that's promising news if that to be true.
I mean, if Mario said it, that's a complete lie.
I don't know who said it. I'm going to tell you
whoever
what.
Whoever said it, boy.
McClain. Okay, McClain from the ACC Network. I know that they were saying Beck connected with Keelan Marion on a deep bomb when he was there. So I've heard some more positive things about it, but that ain't what you heard, huh?
Listen, not what I heard. Hell what nah. I've seen. I've seen. No.
Do he have hands? Just tell me, does he have hands?
Man, his issue is.
Gabby said he saw him and.
His route running issues is bad. It's not good.
Yeah, Gabby said he be watching him like in warm ups and just he got trouble with like getting separation and stuff. Gabby sounded like X. Gabby be sounding like X. Gabby ain't never said really nothing good. He like he might be. Gabby said he's not even as fast as he thought he was gonna be for real.
He's quick. He's more quick. Like the thing with him is okay. Like if somebody's guarding him, they easily pushes him off his route.
Mm.
So it's like. If you can't get separation, you're not going to, you know what I'm saying? Unless he's just that damn good of a receiver. And no, he's no.
All right. Well, y'all heard it here first. I got fed some bullshit.
But all right. The motherfucker on punt return and kick return, I'll tell you. Yeah, he might take, he take it to the house, man.
If that's all he give us, that I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
We haven't had that in a long time.
Right.
Hey, I had no expectation for him at wide receiver because at BYU he didn't play as much because like he was kick return, punt return. That was his thing.
He only had like 20 catches for like 300 yards.
Yeah. So if he's at Miami, if he's struggling in that department, I totally get it and understand because of his expectation of what he did at BYU, and they don't got no real wide receiver coach out there. You know what I'm saying? We know Beard is very technical in what he does and what he teaches and all that stuff. So I'm not surprised that he's struggling. I kind of figured that he probably would struggle because of the fact that of the expectation for him and what we assumed that he was brought in to do or whatever.
Right. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. What I heard would only be a pleasant surprise because I'm in that same boat of I didn't expect much. Like I thought, okay, basically, I honestly, from the moment we brought him in, I go, oh, kick return, punt return. That's cool. We need some explosion there. You know, Ray Ray wasn't able to quite get it going. You know, it's part of the reason Restrepo having trouble making the roster because he doesn't offer that versatility. You know, we just haven't had it. Honestly, probably the last decent return guy we got had was Berrios, and he was kind of underappreciated because he ain't take him to the house, but he was a good positive yards guy, and he just knew how to secure the ball and, you know, just not make mistakes. And people just – I get it. We want the home run. You know, we want the touchdown. Yeah, that's dope, but I always tell people that's the scariest play in football to me is fucking punt return. Nothing scares me more than watching that ball just hang up in the air and just praying to God he just catch this damn ball because you flip the field like that if you don't. You know, so.
Yeah, nah, he'll probably return to he'll probably return to kick return. Like, if they kicking it off to us and they playing it to us, I'm confident. Like, he the man. He the man. But just if he's on that 11-man field and the quarterback got to throw him a ball and he got to run a route, I don't trust it at all. So, like, yeah, just keep him
so
as
the best you can hope for is busted coverage. He just take off on the street.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Or you know, just
hand it off.
Dawson got to get him some plays where he can get open. And it won't be so hard for him to run around. So,
how about one more question out the wide receiver room? Are we gonna be able to keep Josh Moore off the field?
I don't know, man. That kid is a fucking animal, man. He had a damn good day yesterday. Yeah, and he's the one that they throwing a lot of deep passes to, and he's catching them. He just don't look like a freshman. But you know, every year we tend to have these freshmen do this in camp, and then when the season starts, you be like, well, shit, why they not playing? So I think seeing them do it against another team will make us a lot more happier than doing it against us. But I know yesterday they were saying he was being covered by O'Connor, and they were step for step. But then, you know, the ball was in the air, and then he just put his hands up. And they said like it was a giraffe eating out of a tree where he just snatched the ball.
Just plugged it out of there.
Yeah, like, well, shit, I mean. And O'Connor is what, 6'1 and a half or 6'2"? So
yeah,
it's like.
Pretty, yeah.
If he can do that on a guy like that, man, boy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and this is the thing when people often miss with freshmen too is it's the details, it's the minor things, and it is important because, you know, being a technician, he played it, he's coached it. So what he gonna want is you doing, hitting all your spots, hitting all your marks, getting in and out of your breaks. You know, the fine tune things that are very important, because that instills trust that I know as the quarterback, you're going to be where you're supposed to be. When I have to let this ball go without you being open, that I know you're going to go to the proper mark and our time to be synced up. So that's a lot of times where hold these guys up. And that's why Tony is being, you know, heralded so much, is that he is such a tactician. He's a, you know, the young man, you know, people forget that, you know, he played quarterback. It was, you know, family decision to move him to wide receiver, probably mostly because of his stature. But when you're dealing with a quarterback mind at wide receiver and just hard work ethic, this is one reason that, you know, there's so much fanfare around this young man, and thinking, you know, he's going to definitely be a contributor this year. You know, one thing I'm interested to see, I hope to see, because we won't be bringing back as much production as we did out of the wide receiver room, and we haven't seen as much out of Shannon Dawson. I'd like to see the rotation improve some. So, you know, especially with less proven production, that'll be something I'm interested in as the season goes along.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a collective effort with the wide receiver unit until Beck realizes who's his alpha. You know, because we got some young good guys. Then you got CJ, who CJ is starting to kind of stand out a lot more. But, you know, he's older, so he's supposed to do this, especially with the absence of JoJo. So I think as of now, it's like, yeah, it's going, you know, you look at it, be like, okay, last year what we had, like a 4-man, 5-man rotation at most, probably, mm-hmm. say 4. This year is definitely going to have to be like 7, 8. Because remember, all of them really don't have no game experience outside of CJ. You know, Marion, we're not really going to trust him. Tony Johnson, he hasn't separated himself from Ray Ray or Malachi. So it's like, now you got receivers who ain't really played at all. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's definitely going to be a rotational thing with that. Again, I keep saying this, and you know, I think it's possible that the Canes might have a 1,000-yard receiver at tight end. Like, I think Lofton is capable of doing that. So,
oh, that's your hot take. Man.
I'm standing on it. I'm standing on it.
For one, boy, that shit's scorching, bud.
That's the scorching. Yeah.
I was told yesterday, Lofton is our best offensive weapon, and this is what I was told yesterday. So, I agree. I don't think my take gonna get cold.
Let's see.
We know Beck like to throw the ball to who? The tight end. So it's like, yeah. Shit.
Listen, I'm a tight end is like my favorite offensive position. You know, we got a great tradition at tight end. Lofton was my favorite recruit coming in that last year. Remember I said that? And then this year, Brock Schott. I'm big on that's my position. Hey, I want to see it. I think we'll have 1,000 at tight end. But boy, if we get a single, that would be crazy. That would be crazy to get a single player with 1,000 yards at tight end. I just think we're going to use Lofton in a lot of ways. I agree. So we'll see. I mean, I guess it depends on like some of the stuff he does. Like if he just runs it straight out the backfield, or if he technically throw it to him. I do think he's going to get a hell of a lot of touches and a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, Let me revise that thing. I think he'll have 1,000 yards total. Let me say that, because
okay,
everybody be like, oh, he have 1,000 yards. Well, goddamn, man. Like, okay, he had 700 yards receiving, 200-something yards rushing. Okay.
All
right. I think he's going to be good for us, man. And I think that's good because it gives somebody back who's he can secure the ball to Lofton a lot more than he do it to the receivers. Then I'm happy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Just don't throw no interceptions. If that's your man and you know he's gonna catch it, throw it to him. Be good.
No doubt. I guess we talked last time a little bit about, you know, you spoke about Jacoby stepping up. I'm kind of I'm getting to the point where I kind of think it might be Jacoby and Jacoby Thomas and my boy from Jacksonville State, blanking on his name.
Poizer, Zachariah Poizer.
Zachariah Poizer. I'm kind of feeling like that's going to be maybe I start in safeties there. And I don't know. I think I'm feeling pretty good about linebacker being Torre and Wes.
I think you just got to say three linebackers because I think they'll always start the game with three and then, you know, transition to two. So Torre, Popo, Wesley, and you got to throw Chase in there because Chase is having a damn good camp also. I don't want to be the guy to say it, but I'm going to say it. I'm not high on Poizer. I'm not.
All right, there you go.
I think they are, but I don't know why. I'm just, from what I've seen from spring to now, I'm like, yeah, I just don't know.
You don't see it?
No. Now, if he's close to the line of scrimmage, I love it.
Yeah. But
if he's in coverage,
you need coverage.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, no.
Well, you know, you bring an interesting point. I said this was one thing I worry a little bit about at college was, you know, like in the NFL, when you go get a free agent and you pay him X amount of dollars, oh, he playing. He could be a guy on the bench better. He might legit be better, but look, we've invested way too much money in this guy. So he's got to play or we got to figure out a way to get rid of him so we can offload this damn contract. So I worry about that a little bit at the collegiate level if, damn, what if there's a situation where, like, I know you've been high on, like, a Marquise Williams who – you may feel like, hell, Marquise probably honestly better suited to play that free safety spot. But we went out and paid money to go get this guy, so this guy's going to play. You know?
And I don't want to say that's the narrative. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We all grown enough to know sometimes that be the narrative. But I ain't going to say this on real. You know, business is business. You know what
business
I'm saying?
Business is business, baby.
But just from what I've seen from spring to now, I just don't know if he is the guy that you want in coverage. If you play at Syracuse and they got four receivers, do you really want him in coverage? You know what I'm saying? Covering one of those slot guys or something like that?
Put Bryce Fitzgerald out there. I'm hearing they like the kid early on.
Yeah, man. Man, look, and I'm not
about
too surprised.
What, 15 pounds, something they say like that.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that he's doing what he's doing. Like, look at the program he come from. That's like him coming from Columbus is like these kids that come from Chaminade and they're coming from American Heritage and St. Thomas. They're a little bit more prepared than say somebody coming from, you know what I'm saying, like Northwestern, any one of them schools, because for one, the strength and conditioning. Right, we know the strength and conditioning program and what they do is a whole lot better than, and the money that they invest into those programs are a lot better than just the regular public schools. We know, like, the public schools down in Miami ain't investing no money like that or whatever. So, I'm impressed, man. I've been hearing some good things about them. I think our safety room is probably gonna be in better shape than what I initially thought. I don't think we have to jump into the portal next year. I think we're gonna be good, so we'll see.
You know, it's crazy you mentioned that about like how Miami or, you know, just Florida in general, I guess you would say, invest on football or these schools, like, and then, you know, who was that Georgia school that just recently built like some crazy ass multi-million dollar like stadium? I'm like,
it started with a B. I can't think. I can't
Buford,
think.
Is
I
it
can't,
Buford?
No, it wasn't
is
Buford.
Buford building one, no.
I think they built one. They built one too, but I can't remember the school, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. Cause
yeah, I mean that's kind of here nor there, but like that's insanity to me. Like, how in the hell are they investing at that level, at the high school level? And then you made these Florida schools look bad, but I'm also kind of like, I don't know. I think that's too much. But, you know, hey, it ain't my money to spend. Y'all want to spend all that on, you know, putting together these high school teams and putting together these big badass stadiums and venues or whatnot.
I'm actually, like, yeah, it was Buford. My bad. It was
Buford. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it if you could have multiple uses for it, like, you know, like the Superdome, right? Or, you know, things like that, where you could do a lot of stuff with it. Now, maybe that's their plans. But I'm like, yo, that's a lot just to go play high school football at.
Yeah.
But, hey, I ain't mad at them. Them kids getting they getting an experience, man. We could only dreamed of as kids to try to have something like that. But, well, X, I think he had to dip out. I think he's going to come step back in with us in a minute. I don't know if that was his official hot take, but that was pretty hot. So I'm going to take it.
Yeah,
I'm going to take it as a hot take.
Man, look. that was 400 degrees hot, boy. I'm staying away from those.
That's a scorcher, Jack.
Yeah, man. I don't know how I can top that. I don't know how I can top that.
What you got, though?
Man, a hot take. I'm going to say, I ain't going to say the corners because I think Dillon Day going to take, I think he's going to take somebody's spot in that secondary. Somebody's spot going to get taken in that secondary. It's a hot take, man. You asked for a hot take. I'm going to give you a better one. Yeah. I think Malachi Toney is probably, I say Malachi Toney lead the team in touchdown.
Okay, now there you go. I'm about to say that shit was lukewarm as hell. I'm just going to tell you, that lukewarm, bubba.
I say Malachi Toney leads the team in touchdown. That's what I think.
That's a hot take. Because that means a lot of burn.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, probably some good red zone opportunities, which I can see it. I can see the opportunities being there for him. He's been spoken well of from everybody, including Carson Beck. So I can see that. Unlikely, but it's a world where that could happen. So I like that as a hot take.
But I'm going to see it. This is what I'm thinking of, right? We brought Tony Johnson in to kind of be that veteran of the slots and possibly start, you know what I'm saying, because of the experience. He hasn't seized it. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't seized that opportunity. Ray has improved. He's doing his thing. He's going to play. But the things that we're hearing about Malachi is just different. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not hearing about Tony Johnson. He's there. That's what it seems like. It seems like he's just there. And all you're hearing is Ray Ray's improving, Ray Ray's getting better, he's gonna play. But then it's like Malachi, you hear all these great things. It's like, man, are they gonna trot him out there week one against Notre Dame? I don't know. Like, are they gonna just go to burn? Yeah, he's gonna get some burn, but is he gonna start? I don't know. I don't know. I'm still kind of up in the air with thinking that. I got to see how the scrimmage is because I know they got another scrimmage going to come up at some point, probably this week, this weekend. And then we won't go from there. But, that's how I feel about it.
I think, I don't think they'll start him because he's a freshman, period. And, this is a big game. I think they'll let him just kind of settle down a few notches, just, because he probably going to be a little amped up a little bit, I don't think they want to get his confidence shot early, like he go out there and drop an easy one or something like that. But I think they may give him a few minutes, maybe a couple of series off, and then I think maybe by the third series, they'll go ahead and let him get in for a play or two and, see if he could go to work. They got a real good secondary there. So it'd be a hell of a test. It's going to be a huge game. It's going to be sold out, packed out. So, I don't know how I definitely think he gets some burn. I just think it'll take him a few series before they put him in. But I like that one. I like that one. My hot take, last year I put us down for 50 sacks. Ain't paying out because my damn DC was twisting and turning and, shaking ass all over the damn field instead of getting upfield. And Ruben Bain got hurt, so that hurt my numbers bad right there. Yeah. I think we did end up with like 36. So yeah, you know, we wasn't as bad as I, you know, it could have been, but I thought we could have done better. I'm not gonna put us down for 50 sacks again this year. I ain't that amped up. But I think my hot take would be I got Marquise Lightfoot leading the team in sacks. And I'm gonna put him at a relatively high number, man. A damn high number. I'm gonna put him at 8.5 sacks.
Woo! Yeah, that's a hot take. That's a hot take too.
Yeah. We're gonna keep it flaming, you know. It got something behind the same way you're looking at Tony. I'm just looking at the opportunities I think he'll be able to get. You know, like X had saw, because I had mentioned to him, you know, I noticed it when I was watching Minnesota play. And I heard it just through media that they use a lot of times they use a stand up defensive end. And I think that role will be for Lightfoot and like Booker Pickett. Those will be two guys, you know, of the slighter frames who going to get those opportunities. Actually, I heard he picked off a ball Lightfoot did in scrimmage the other day. And I would imagine he was in that stand up role, fell back in the coverage, made a nice pick. But yeah, you know, he's added some strength. He's got a wingspan on him. Athletic guy with some burst. I just see him in a, you know, and you've been hearing you remember last year, we were pretty high on him. He looked great in the spring game.
Yeah.
He didn't play. He was like, oh, okay. But he just didn't have a weight on. He kind of said that himself. Like, yeah, I got to get my weight up, man. Some big boys out here. You know, and you going against Maui Noah, you know, trying to get around that edge. I don't think we'll see a ton of great O-line this year either. I think the two best O-lines we probably will see is Notre Dame. They always traditionally have a good O-line. And probably Florida, even though I think their O-line is overrated. I do think there's some talent there. After that, I honestly don't, you know, kind of thinking about the rest of the schedule, I think some opportunities would be there. Yeah, so I think Lightfoot takes a big step up this year in a utility type role. Like, I don't even think he's going to get a shit ton of burn per se, but think about like when we put Pickett in at the end of the year and he comes in and gets a sack, I think that's the kind of role he'll have where it'll be passing situations, you know, third and 16s. He's going to get a chance to just pin his ears back. Get to it. I think we'll be running packages with like Blunt, Mezzadorn, Bain up front, and then him like on standing up off the edge. And I think he's going to get some opportunities there to really disrupt. That's my hot take, man. 8.5, lead the team, Marquise Lightfoot. You know, Ruben going to get doubled up all year. It's too much. It's too much hype. I don't even think he's going to have, like, a big numbers year, in all honesty. I still think he's going to be a high draft pick, but I think teams are going to key on him so much that he won't be able to put up, like, statistically some of the numbers that you might hope that he could do. But NFL is not going to go completely on that anyways. I mean, you look at Shamar Stewart, right? His numbers don't say shit.
Yeah.
But he's a huge body. You know, and he played like a big DN. I think they mostly played like a 3-4 front there at Texas A&M too. So
yeah, they did.
Teams are going to kind of look at, well, once we get him, he'll be a big DN and a 4-3, you know, in Cincinnati, and he'll have more opportunities. So I still think Bang goes first round. Despite being a quote unquote tweener. You know, they say they got him listed at 6'3", which means he's probably 6'2". But he's just got violent hands. He's just super strong. You know, and especially people that like break down tape and actually watch the trenches and see what's going on, Reuben Bain's a hell of a disruptor. He liked that and ain't just, you know, came by it. Remember, he was a highly ranked guy, recruited guy. He probably would have been a 5-star if he was just, you know, 2 inches taller. He would have been a 5-star. You know, he could have went wherever in the country he wanted to. So this wouldn't be crazy for him to end up in the first round anyways. But all right, man, let's get into a little bit of little bit of preseason hype. We, you know, some polls have come out. McMurphy put his out the other day. And they, you know, of course, they went straight to hating. You know, it's funny because McMurphy however they want to, man. They say he washed, and then but then when he said something good for Miami, man, nobody listen to Brandon McMurphy. Yeah. I said, it ain't listen to McMurphy, but hey,
yeah,
what it is. I think he might have had us. He might have had us at like 7, I want to say. But nonetheless, the coaches poll came out, and the AP poll has come out, and. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe we're 10 in both of those, correct?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, that coach's poll is one that, that struck me. Yeah. That lets me know Mario's starting to garner some respect for what he's putting together down there.
Yep. I agree.
You know, coaches going to see it a whole different way than we see it. Coaches going to give it to your blood raw. And if they think we're a top 10 team as of right now, that says a lot about the talent that is, you know, been assembled down there. And then the AP poll, you know, I never give that a lot of reverence, but to me, what that says is some of the narratives are starting to shift somewhat. And that could read very positively for this team.
Yeah, I was looking at it, and man, they are super high on Penn State, man. Like they got them as high as 2. Texas being 1, I understand it.
I think coaches or one of them got them at 1. I don't know if it's coaches or AP, but one of them they got them at 1.
So the AP has them at the AP have them at number 2. Yeah, okay. AP and the coaches both have them at number 2, I think.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'll look real quick while you're talking. I thought I saw it.
It's just, man, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't – the wide receiver, like, they got – now, granted, I will say, like, they probably got the best running back tandem in all of college football, no doubt, with Singleton and the other kid from IMG, I think. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But they're going to run that ball, and they're going to play defense. They got a really good defense. But just to garner as the number 2 team in the nation, I used to think that, like, the national champion at least got the respect of coming back being either number 1 or number 2. That's what it's always consistently been. Maybe because it's been Alabama and Georgia for all these years. And right. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's consistent. That's what it's consistently been.
And those guys have honestly been reloaded enough to feel that way.
Yeah.
Ohio State, I mean, I won't say they were lucky. But that's not fair a statement because they had to win a lot of games to win it all. But, I mean, their quarterback was pretty trash. And then now you're going to a completely unproven quarterback. So I get where there's some questions there, and honestly, it's going to always kind of start at quarterback. And I think that's one reason we ranked in the top 10 is because Carson Beck. Like, people that know football know that Carson Beck ain't trash. They're like, nah, this is a guy that just a year ago we had in the Heisman race, you know. And I don't think they think he just fell off like that. I think they see what went wrong with Georgia.
It's just crazy because you got Illinois at 12.
Man, they're expecting a lot out of Illinois this year.
You got Indiana at 20. Mind you, they lost the quarterback. They lost quite a bit.
Well, they Texas brought in Indiana brought in old boy.
Oh, Cap. Mendoza. They brought in Fernando Mendoza. Yeah. And then you got Texas Tech at 23. Like, what did they bring in?
They paid for that whole damn team. Yeah, so they better be 23. Much as they invested, they better be 23.
And then you got your normal Boise State in the top 25.
Yeah, down there.
I kind of hate the preseason polls because this is all not going to be continue to be like this, to be honest. I think
Michigan too high.
Yeah, I think Michigan too high. I mean, you have you breaking in a brand new quarterback and you got him at 14.
And they have, you know, they had horrible QB play last year.
Horrible. Yeah, they had horrible QB. I think South Carolina should have been a little bit higher to me.
I just think South Carolina, 13.
They got them at 13. I think, yeah. I mean, Arizona State, I think they're going to be decent. But also, like I said, I have to take into consideration the conference they're playing in. So they're probably the cream of the crop in the Big 12 exactly. conference. So I get that. I mean, you got Kansas State. Okay. I mean, Texas A&M, I mean, you got them at 19, but they breaking in a new quarterback too, because they brought in a guy from UAB and somebody else. So yeah, man, I don't know. Tennessee lost their quarterback and got the guy from the G5 guy, and they had 24. Like,
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show, you know, like I said, and you know, you like you say, Penn State at one, that's Drew Allar, right? Or two. Texas, excuse me. Arch Manning, right? Everybody's super high on him. Ohio State, reigning champ, still quarterback question, but Julian Sain was a five-star quarterback. You know, and they've done real recruiting every other area, right? So you know they're going to have a good O-line. They're going to have a good D-line. You know, they always have a good secondary. Even if you don't know the names, you can kind of depend on that with Ohio State. You know, same thing for Clemson in general. They real high on who? Cade Klubnik. Georgia at five.
But you know what? I think Georgia Tech should have been in the top 25.
I saw them that was just a fan person name or whatever.
Go ahead. That was a fan person, because I'm looking at the other AP receiving votes. BYU 26, Utah 27, Baylor 28, Louisville 29. I thought Louisville probably could have snuck into the back end because they're so high on them having Miller Moss and then the running back Isaac Brown and stuff like that. You got USC at 30, and you got Georgia Tech at 31. I think Georgia Tech probably should have been in that top 25. I probably would.
The ACC don't get no respect, they don't want us to have respect, because it helps to feed the narrative that, you know, we're lower tiered, right? So, you know, we are third at NFL talent, you know. So, but a lot of that again is, well, if I can sell you the best football player in the SEC and the Big Ten, what a player's going to play. So I think Tech going to prove it. I'm a big fan of the coach there. I think Haynes King is a good collegiate quarterback. I don't necessarily think he's going to go on to the next level and be some kind of monster, but I can see him, just being a real good college guy. So I can see them. Yeah, I agree with you. I put him down there. 20 to 25 range. But I think they'll get the opportunity. Florida State is ranked
in the 40s.
Somewhere. Oh, my bad. Hold on. Keep scrolling. My fault.
Them boys in the low more section, man.
Golly. What wrong? Boy shooting back. That's crazy. I ain't never seen a day where I can't find Florida State. Oh man, last year they was 10. Uh-oh. Hit up with that 10 curse.
Hey man.
He was really bugging on that team, though. I don't make no sense for them to have loved that team that much and then for it to be that bad. That is insanity. That is pure insanity. That's one of the biggest head scratches I think I've ever seen in college football, where a team got hyped that much.
Yeah.
The end result was like, what the hell was we talking about? But I think we're fairly ranked. I think 10 is a good position. I think it gives us something to build towards, and it should, you know, if you play it right, man. You know, coaches try to stay away from all that stuff, but you can play it in a way too to be like, we being disrespected at 10. You know, you just gotta play it right, and you can play it into the, you know, the narrative of, you at least 10 good, at least play 10 damn good. You know what I mean? Like, it don't make no sense for us to drop games to these other guys. You know, these Georgia Techs, these Syracuses. And there's no shot at them. I think, you know, Fran Brown did a good job. They had a good season. I thought they should have been ranked when we played them. You know, Tech, again, I think they're putting together good stuff over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, and part of the reason that our team is 10 at this point too, man, if you go look at the watch list, this is the most I think I've seen Miami represented preseason top, you know, watch list. And I don't know, D-Rod, like you, man, I don't know, man. You got to probably dig deep in the bag, man, for us to have preseason, you know, maybe postseason, maybe, you know, but preseason, I'm going to do a run through just of the guys that we got on watch list. So you got Remington, the Remington Award. You have James Brockenmeyer, the center that we got transferred in from, wait, it was TCU, right?
Yeah, James Brockenmeyer, TCU.
Yeah. He's on that list. We also have our boy Elijah Lofton. He is on the John Mackey watch list. And you have, I thought this one was just funny, but I want to include it because fuck it, it's the watch list. You have our long snapper, Adam Booker.
Oh, God.
Adam Booker. Hey, I'm counting them. Shit, fuck that. They made the list. They made the graphic. I'm counting them. He is on the Patrick Manelli Award watch list. Probably for the best long snapper, best activity. Don't laugh at me, Rod. It's real. Hey, I have all of them, damn it. if they put our water boy on there, put him on the water boy watch list.
Hey, we going to hide
shit from me. Yeah, I ain't letting steal shit from me. You got Beck on a couple, but I know the one I got right here, Walter Camp. Player of the Year Award, also on the Davey O'Brien watch list. And let's see, who else we got watch list rise? Outland Trophy, you got Inez Cooper, and CC Mawinoa is on the Outland watch list.
Okay.
Then for the butt piss, we have Wesley Bissaint. All right. Then we got the Bronco Nagurski watch list. We got Ruben Bain.
Okay.
Beck is also on the Maxwell Award watch list. All right. Then the Chuck Bendard watch list. We got my boy OJ Frederick, Mr. Nasty Number himself.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the Bendard watch list is Ruben Bain. And that is it so far. There's still a few more I think got to come out. But Maui Noah also, I'd like to give Shiner this as well. He is good works, all state, good hands, team nominee for his community service. You know, something that Miami does a good job at. And I think that's important to mention too, just because, you know, it was Catholics versus convicts, right? So it's always been they try to stick those narratives on our team, even though it's been far, far, far from that for a long time. Yeah. He also made ACC first team preseason list along with Ruben Bain. And one list that's just kind of cool, you know, for people that follow college football like we do. He made he was number 16 on Bruce Feldman's freak list. And that is just a list he puts out every year. Guys that are physical freaks at the collegiate level. I don't know. He usually lists exactly why, but I'll be honest, I did not read this year's list yet to see why you put him on there. But usually that means they could pull off some really outstanding you know, like lift
or something like that, speed or something like that. Yeah, because right, I think last year, I think Nicholas Harbor was, I don't know if he was like number one or something like that.
Yeah, he crazy.
South Carolina, because, you know what I'm saying, he was running 100 and he was doing all that. He was
that dude, man. Can't believe he didn't come to Miami.
Yeah, man.
Oh my God, you imagine him in this offense?
Bro, he would have been an elite tight end. What? Bro. You'd have to convince him to be an elite tight end, dog.
Bro, you see what Arroyo did. Now, you put man. Harvard with that speed.
Oh, man.
That could have been something different. I really was hoping that kid to come on through, but yeah, he never came down and showed that love. I was like, yeah, we ain't getting him, man. But yeah, so you know, I said all of that to kind of say this, that you know, it's okay to be optimistic, y'all. It's okay. Other people are too. It's not just fanhood, it's not just you know, being a homer. We let Mario cook, and man, it's finally, you know, the pot is smelling good in the kitchen, man. It's smelling good for a reason. We ain't worrying about no recruiting right now. That'll take care of itself in due time, very shortly. That'll be all taken care of. Right now, we can focus on the most important part, which is getting them W's, man. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want y'all to feel good, man. I'm feeling real good about this season. I want y'all to carry that same spirit with me, man. Let's go in with a positive attitude, you know.
I'm so proud of, man, and I'm a knock on wood, no major injuries, nothing has came
big time. I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot to mention that.
No major injuries.
Talking ball camp, yeah. As of so far, no major injuries. You know, I know, you know, some people was hoping, some haters were hoping JoJo was really hurt bad, but it's a minor, you know, it's a minor injury, more precautionary. Same thing for Mark Fletcher right now, more precautionary. Mm-hmm. Our only real major injury, I think, is 25. And he, you know,
Jedias Richard. Yeah, he's probably going to be
there. Yeah, which would be good. Which would be good. And I think he could move to the safety room.
Yep.
And compete there next year. So I think he takes this year to get healthy and then get the opportunity to compete there next year. But so far, so good, man. I think a lot of questions are being answered early on. I know people still want to know a little bit about DT depth, but I think you can get creative there, you know, especially on third and long packages. And I mean, I didn't really speak on it earlier. I won't get into a deep bag about it, but there's positive buzz about several players in that DT room, you know, including guys that we kind of forgetting a little bit about, like even Blade that we went out to go get. Dante Simpson is a guy that, you know, that a lot of people think he could play this year. He can get some burn. He's
been developing nicely.
Yeah, who's my boy out of – I believe he played at Central. Man, he's gonna put on a lot of weight.
Oh no, you talking about Daylen Russell?
Russell, what Russell played at?
Columbus.
Columbus. Columbus. A lot of weight been added to his frame as well. He's already kind of like a little, you know, like a little fire hydrant type dude. But putting on good weight. And you know, again, I remember when I told y'all about him, I said this is the kind of guy that goes to Pitt and kicks our ass. And then we go, how we miss on that? So it's important to understand this as well. And, you know, I'll say this and we'll get out of here. You know, when somebody asked Mirrorball about Pancake and how he kind of emphasized, you know, how great it is that he's trusting the process and that he could go somewhere else to start. But he's here and he's all bought in. And as fans, this is what we say we want. This is what we say we want. Kids that want to be Canes, yes, we want them to have talent. The man told you he can start. But we just good. And he may start. So we'll find out what's what. You know, we got a little more time to see. He may end up starting in one of those guard spots this year. You know, that's the type of thing you got to have. You build the right culture, you get the right buy-in. You'll have those kind of guys that you can bring along over the course of 3 years, and then they'd be a major contributor, if not a starter for you. So, anyways, you got anything else, D-Rod, before we get out of here? Oh, yeah, look like I lost him too. All right. Well, this is me, solo dolo. Everybody else fell off. One by one, I lost my brothers, but we'll pick them back up. We'll be back with y'all boys, man, as we get a little more camp news, hopefully no injuries to report. Only positive things going on around the program. We'll get back with y'all, man. Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.